Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have John Christensen, Portfolio Manager of the KAR Small Cap Core Strategy. John, welcome back. John, the third quarter has seen a continuation of robust performance in markets from the second quarter. The Russell 2000 has outperformed the S&P 500 by a few percent, but with high beta, low quality stocks leading the way. Can you give your view of market performance lately?
Absolutely. As you pointed out, the small cap asset class did outperform the S&P 500 in Q3, but continues to trail on a year-to-date basis. The high beta, low quality leadership in small caps you also mentioned cannot be understated. Q3 has seen an aggressive return of momentum, risk on investing that has led to some impressive numbers for the low end of the quality market. With momentum building since the market lows back in early April and the anticipation of ongoing interest rate cuts by the Fed, the market has seen a dramatic rebound that has gained energy through Q3. The nature of the rebound has been broad, based on in favor of low-quality factors. For example, companies with very low market caps, low ROE, high betas, high PEs have all excelled in this environment, with some differentials as high as 30% in terms of performance since the April lows. So low quality has clearly won the race in terms of performance over the quarter as well as the year to date. The Russell 2000 index climbed over 12% in Q3 and was led by sectors such as materials, industrials, and communication services, while consumer staples, financials, and real estate lagged.
John, seemingly the market has strongly rewarded businesses within the AI ecosystem, such as, of course, hyperscalers, as well as quantum computing and power generation companies, to name a few, while punishing businesses that are impacted by near-term uncertainty from tariffs, adjusting for potential slower business cutbacks and consumer tightening. Is that fair, and can you give examples?
This is an important point. As we have moved through the year, AI has been the kind of ubiquitous buzzword in our vernacular, both in and out of the investing world. The large hyperscalers have been securing the top headlines from this due to their beyond imaginable capital spending plans that have called into question where this all ends and how these companies recoup their ultimate spending goals. This has been to the detriment, sometimes, of the smaller players, as well as those businesses that are not wholly focused on providing AI infrastructure or other tangential services or products. So the focus has been clearly on those companies that have a good deal tied up in the AI story and build out. It's not to say ours don't, but their AI piece is much more part of a diversified revenue base. Despite tariffs, geopolitical risk, labor instability, and policy changes, I would not have expected the stock market to reach record highs this year, but here we are. I believe our businesses have nicely navigated these murky waters given their solid business models with pricing power and consistent results. However, the market overlooks this due to the magnitude of the growth or lack of direct exposure to the AI infrastructure. This is what has created the current environment we're in and why, for the most part, we are underperforming. But we understand these trends ultimately mature over time, especially as valuations come into play. So while this may not seem fair, it's the hand we are dealt. And if our companies continue to perform well, we have confidence that these forces will normalize over time.
John, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the third quarter?
In terms of the top contributors to the portfolio in the quarter, they were EMCOR, Watts Water, Installed Building Products, Moelis, and Simpson Manufacturing. Let's talk about EMCOR. Outperformance for Amcor was driven by strong revenue growth and margin improvement, mostly in its mechanical and electrical construction businesses, which is tied to data center buildouts and strength in other markets. In terms of those names in the portfolio that detracted the most, they were Corvell, FactSet Research, Rightmove, Jack Henry, and Landstar. Getting into more detail on Jack Henry, management's guidance for revenue growth in the next fiscal year was lower than investors had expected, and there is a concern that the more bank M&A activity could result in elevated levels of customer churn for Jack Henry.
John, as we are now three quarters of the way through the year, can you comment on the level of earnings growth for this strategy for 2025?
We believe that for the most part, our companies are continuing to grow earnings at a consistent and solid rate, despite all these issues that seemingly should be seen as headwinds. With the solid business model we seek in our portfolio businesses, where we strive for pricing power as a result of the competitive moat they have created in their addressable markets, we believe sustained earnings growth over time is achievable. Bottom line is that we anticipate the earnings growth for our company should be in line with historical averages.
Lastly, John, how do valuations look across the market going into 2026, highlighting opportunities and where there may be risks?
Of course, the consequence of the markets we have been discussing here is that as there is outperformance in a certain segment of the market, low quality and momentum, is that valuations eventually do matter. Given what we have seen in the markets over the past 2 years, valuations are reaching extended levels for many of the names that have been the beneficiaries of this historic momentum in mostly AI theme investments. With these lofty valuations also come heady expectations in terms of the financials. This is where we view the opportunity for our portfolios in terms of reversion to the mean and the risk in the broader market as the concentration of tech and low quality stocks becomes much greater than historical averages. In the end, valuations do matter. We continue to believe that the consistency and durability of our companies and their financial results should drive outperformance longer term as the valuation disparities converge.
John, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.